Thank the Lord this morning for His great goodness and His wonderful salvation. There's a scripture in the Bible that speaks about Mount Zion, and it says, beautiful for situation. And that scripture came to me as the young adults were singing this morning. And I thought about Zion, and as I looked on their life, I want to say, I thank you for your life that you're living for God. And I want to encourage all the young adults, all the children, and all of us. Let's live a life beautiful for situation. Let's live a life that will glorify God and bring honor to His name. And we, by the grace of God, and through the blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the giving of the Holy Ghost, thank the Lord this morning. We all can be part of that beautiful situation. So be encouraged, young men and young ladies, and serve God, and you'll be pleased, you'll be blessed, and you'll be fulfilled, and you'll be a blessing to others. This morning, the Lord seemed to give me a burden during the week I'd like to share with us. It concerns the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it's really about also being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not just the fact that He arose. Most all of Christendom believes He arose. But I want us to think today about the power of the resurrected Christ. The authority granted to us because He arose. The sending, the giving, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of God, because Jesus Christ arose and went back to the Father and sent to us, gave to us, breathed on us, that we might receive the Holy Ghost. Did you know that's extremely important to a Christian? It's extremely important that there is the Holy Ghost. He is the one, the messenger that convicts us. He is the one that brings to remembrances the Word of God. He is the one that teaches us about God. And He is also one, after we're saved, that will fill us, infill us with God the Father, God the Son, will infill us with power to live the Christian life. Power to be a witness. Power to be a part of that city set on a hill that cannot be hid. So this morning, the resurrection and the power of God that is afforded us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Can you for any moment in your time doubt that? Don't we see the wonder, the majesty, and the mystery of God all around us? Men through the ages have tried to explain it, and God says, believe it. Men have tried to figure it all out, and God said, accept it. Aren't you glad this morning that God has revealed His mysteries in part at least to us? But I believe this morning we all can agree, great is the mystery of God. Great is His doings and the mystery of His doings. His ways are past finding out. But listen to what else it said. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. The Lord did not come and lead a sheltered life, nor did He seek to shelter Himself from humanity. He knew that it was important that you and me be able to touch Him, and He knew He needed to touch us. So He came down to us in a very real way and walked among us. He felt us, and we felt Him. Men saw Him, and He saw us. And He went to a cruel tree, and He was preached, and He was witnessed to of throughout all the Judea area. And one day, He went into that tomb for a short period of time, and praise God, He came out alive forevermore. But that wasn't the end of the story. We'll read this in a moment, but He said, I want you to do something else. I want you to tarry in Jerusalem. I want you to wait a little while longer, and I'm going to give you authority and power. I'm going to descend upon you in the form of the Holy Ghost. And He said, at that point, you'll be witnesses for me. So thank the Lord this morning for the power that came through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His ways are so much higher than ours. His ways are so much greater. Yet, in His love, He doesn't want Him. He knows in this world, this life, there will always remain a certain degree of mystery. But did you know God doesn't want us ignorant? God wants us to understand Him. And God wants to teach us. And did you know the shortcoming is not on God's part, but it's probably on our part because of how good or how poor student we are. How much time we spend with Him. How much time we don't spend with Him. I believe the Lord has many things to impart with us, to us. But maybe we don't find our seasons to be alone with the Lord enough. And God has to teach us when we finally kind of get quiet sometimes. But I'm so glad this morning that we sang this song, Such Love Cannot Be Fathomed. Indeed, it's so. Over in Romans, the first chapter and the third verse. Romans, the first chapter, third verse. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. He said that He was declared to be the Son of God, not only in just word, not only in just some people's minds, not with a little cultish following, not with a few dedicated people who for some selfish motivation ascribed to His story, but He came and He demonstrated it through the power of God according to the Spirit of holiness. The Holy Ghost descended on Him in figure as a dove. He lived a holy, separate, pure, clean life. He was God in the flesh. He was man in the flesh. And yet He overcame temptation. He overcame sin. He overcame every obstacle that beset Him. And the Spirit of holiness was in Him, was Him. And that declared to the world around, Jesus Christ is different. They said, never a man spake like this. Never did anyone with such authority come by without some credentials from man. But He was as a high priest as Melchizedek. He came without beginning and He came without a pedigree. But He came with authority of the Spirit of holiness and by the resurrection from the dead. This testifies to us. This lets us know that not only did He declare by His own words to be the Son of God, but the resurrection declared it. The resurrection testified of it. And He said it was not just the resurrection from the dead, but the power that was there, the authority was there. Well, I want to talk today. God help us to understand that power is for us. That authority is for us today. I'd like for us to think about this word power just for a moment. He said in another place, and to as many, it's in John the first chapter, as to as many as who received him, to them gave he power. This word power is something that we want to look at just for a moment in the Greek. Obviously, the Greek word means power. The Greek word also means ability. God wants to give us ability today. God wants us to have ability to be a witness. God wants to give us the ability to overcome sin. God wants to give us witness, the ability to be husbands and wives that are gracious and kind. And this word also means force. Did you know anytime we have an obstacle in front of us, it takes force to subdue it, takes force to overcome it. It also means superhuman mastery. Thank God tonight, today, for the resurrection that wasn't based on human mastery, on the stories or tales that are told, but it is based on the superhuman mastery of God the Father. He overcame what man cannot do. I want to tell you something this morning. In your life today, God can overcome what you can't. And if you or me are in places in our life that we feel weak, that we have been overcome in, that we have less than what we term victory, if we are caught in a spirit of depression or some type of emotional turmoil, may I say today, there are things that we in our flesh cannot master. But this power from on high in the Greek means superhuman power, superhuman mastery. Oh, today, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is alive, and He wants it to be alive in your life and in my life. And we praise God for that. Over in John, the 11th chapter, I want us to look at a factual statement that Jesus Christ made. I think it's also important to believe, to know, that the Jews, I know there were doubters and there was the Sadducees who didn't, but the Jews, and David wrote about this, other authors wrote about it, Job wrote concerning another life or a resurrection. The Jews as a whole believed in the resurrection of the dead. In John, the 11th chapter, in the 24th verse, this is at the time when Lazarus had died and before Christ has resurrected him. 11 and 24 of John. Martha said unto him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So there is proof that the Jewish people believed in a resurrection. That wasn't something that they had never heard of. Jesus declared something to us today. Let this echo in your heart. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Oh, we've got to get a hold to something, folks. Did you know your faith is in vain, John said, if Christ did not rise? Did you know he could, and he did rise, but if in your mind you doubt it, if your mind or your heart you cannot fully accept it, did you know to the degree you can't accept it, that's where your power is going to be less? That's where you're going to lose authority? We must believe. To them that believed or to them that received, to them gave he power, that superhuman mastery to overcome Satan, overcome self. And he said to Martha, do you believe this? You know, we've heard the story. Supposedly, probably every one of us probably heard about Jesus as quick as we heard about anything else in our life. You know that? But I want to ask you this morning, and myself, do we really believe. Martha had been with the Lord. She had served the Lord. She had taught the Lord, heard Him teach. She had been there at, no doubt, miracles had taken place. Her family and Lazarus were personal friends. It would be wonderful to know some of the things they shared. But the Lord spoke to her and He said, I am the resurrection. Do you believe it, Martha? You know, if we don't believe it, we need to stop right there. Little message I have for us this morning, it has to begin in believing. If I am going to receive power from on high, if I am going to receive power of the resurrected Lord to live the way He wants me to live, did you know the first thing I've got to do is believe that He rose? He's got to be risen in my heart. He's got to be risen in your heart. And then we can enter in. He has to become the door. We have to truly believe He's there, being the door back into the entrance of the relationship with God the Father. So ask yourself this morning, do I really believe the report? Has God's hand been truly revealed to me in such a way that without doubt I believe He rose from the grave? If you don't this morning, I'm not going to shame you. I'm going to encourage you to seek His face. I'm going to encourage you to pray and ask God, reveal yourself. Reveal your resurrection to me. And then reach forth, as Paul said. I'm reaching forth for the prize. I want to reach forth for more. This morning, God, help us to believe. There's a real beautiful statement the Lord made. To me, he could have said it different, but he wouldn't have had the meaning. Listen to what he said in John 20. How he didn't just say, touch me not because I haven't gone back to the Father yet. But listen to what he said to Mary in the 17th verse of the 20th chapter. He said, touch me not. She reached out to embrace him or reached out to touch him. For I am not yet ascended to my Father. I've not yet returned back from whence I came. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, listen to this. I think it's so gracious of the Lord to have put this in here. It's so wonderful for the Lord to say it this way. I ascend to my Father and your Father. Did you know this morning that He wants to be your brother in that sense? He wants you and me to have that fatherly, that relationship with the Father as a true father. He said, I ascend not only to my Father, but your Father. He said, I ascend not only to my God, but to your God. Aren't you glad the Lord incorporated us and included us in this? He could have went back to the Father and said, I've done my work and I've done those things He told me to do. I'm going home. No, but He took me with Him. He took your cares and your needs. He took my fears and my hopes and my dreams. He took my sins. He took my petitions with Him. He came down and He mingled among us and was touched by us. And He felt what we felt. And He went back to the Father and He said, I'm going back to our Father. And I know this is human terminology, but I believe He went back with a message. I believe He went back with a message for the Father. I believe He went back to tell God how much we needed Him. And I believe He said, there's some that's going to believe, Father. There's some that we want to give all the power we can to. Father, as they receive us, let's pour out upon them the Holy Ghost. Let's pour out upon them that spirit of peace. Oh, I thank God this morning that He was so willing to do that. Over in Ezekiel is a scripture we also know that I believe the Lord said it. Out of the heart are the issues of life. I want to say to you this morning and to myself, if we are endeavoring to serve God without a new heart and without a new spirit, God's got something better for us. This morning, if you're not in a position where you have a clear testimony of serving God, I want you to know God has got a new spirit and a new heart to give us. And the very issue of your life can be changed. This morning, if you feel in your own being condemned before God, be it for sins or for weaknesses, be it for the fear you may have or the doubt you may have, classify it how you may, this morning, I want you to know that God wants to give us a new spirit. God wants to give you a new heart. And He wants the issue of your life to glorify Him. And He'll do that through Him coming in and abiding with us and in us. Let's read some things in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, because He spoke in prophecy of a time yet to come. 36 and 22 of Ezekiel. God wants to give us the power of the resurrection. He wants to give us the hope of life after death. He wants to give us the Holy Ghost. He wants to give that which He sent back to us. Listen to what Ezekiel wrote in 36 and 22. We may interrupt ourselves a little as we go along here. Therefore, make sure I'm in the right place here. Yes, 36 and 22. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for mine own holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathens, whether ye sin. Paul taught us that we've all sinned. Now, I recognize the Lord came to save sinners. He loves us. I'm not taking away from that. But do you remember in Isaiah 61 where he told about all the things he would do and the Spirit of the Lord was on him, how he wanted to deliver and to heal and set the captives free, give eyesight to the blind? Do you remember why he said he wanted to do it? That you and me might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. May I say to the captive this morning, God wants to be glorified in your life. May I say to the saint this morning, God wants to be glorified in your life. May I say to us that feel intimidated by life and intimidated by circumstances, God wants to be glorified in your life. He came down to sinners. He came down to men and women who needed help and said, let me help you, not because you're righteous, not because you're so good, not that you've done anything to deserve this, but because I love you and I want to be glorified in your life. And how does He do it? He has to get in our life. He has to be in us and dwell in us. He has to reign there. That old Brother Carver used to speak on sanctification, and sometimes he'd teach it this way, that our heart is a throne. And man enthrones himself there. And as long as man is enthroned, there can be no true victory. There can be no true glory to God. There will always be the selfish interest. But when that man, through a willingness of that man to lay down the throne and say, and dethrone himself and allow God to come in, Jesus Christ, and be upon the throne, that life can become a glory. And a beautiful thing and a witness to the glory and the power of the resurrection. So the Lord said, I want you to understand this. You don't really deserve this, but I want my name glorified. He wasn't satisfied, dear saints, with the trees and the birds and the mountains and the heavens glorifying His name. He had that, but He wanted me and you to glorify His name. He wanted you and me to be a praise and an honor to Him. I will sanctify my great name. Where is He going to do it? Listen to this. This is a wonderful promise, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. What a glorious statement. That God is willing. And I believe this word sanctify includes everything it means. Holiness, set apart, designated for God. And he said, the heathen will know. There will be all kind of rumors and tags placed on us. But please, God, help us to let it be in error that they were talked about. Let not sin be once named among us as becometh saints. Let's live to the power of the resurrection this morning. He said, when they see the change in you, oh, this morning, do you know there's some changes in your life that need to be made? Is there something in your heart, in your mind, in your actions, in your words that you know God is not being glorified in? Do you know to that degree you're not the witness of the sanctifying power of God? But he said when this power comes, when this authority comes, they'll know. They'll see a change. They'll see a difference. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Thank God this morning. He doesn't want dirty saints. He doesn't want boisterous. He doesn't want saints that are full of iniquity. He doesn't want to accept saints that are tarnished by sin. He's going to cleanse us, make us whole, wash us, purge us, purify us. And he said, I'll take you from that, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. I know that at the onset of a man's salvation, the Holy Ghost is involved. But the Holy Ghost is designed also to come and dwell in this temple. And he said, not only will my Holy Spirit work with you and convict you and teach you and point you to the right direction, offer you hope, offer you some assistance. But listen, he wants to come, the Spirit of God, and dwell in us. And this morning, that's part of the power of the resurrection. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Give me and you the ability. Wow. Be ye holy, for I am holy. With the Spirit of God within us, we can do that. By the Spirit of God dwelling in us, he enables you and me. And it's not really my power or your power. It's not the saints' power. It's the power of the indwelling Christ. It's the power of the indwelling Word. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God dwelling there. And he gives us authority. He allows us. He makes it possible then to keep his statutes. Oh, praise God this morning for the power that came about because Jesus Christ was resurrected. And he went back to the Father. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people. And I will be your God. What a longing God has to be our God. What a longing God has to be our Father. And how we foil so many times his attempts to minister to us, to aid us, to bless us, to empower us. Our obstinance, our unbelief, our selfishness, our own desires hinder God from coming right in and living in our hearts. And then being able to keep his commandments, his statutes, his laws. To be able to live out the Christian experience. To not be hypocritical. To not be double-minded. But have a will consecrated, sanctified to Jesus Christ and to do his will. He said, I'm going to give you something. And I'm going to go back to the Father. And I'm going to send him back to you. May we this morning receive that great power from God. I want us to look, we spoke of this in Luke 24 and 46. Because we studied a little bit in Sunday school this morning, or we studied some in Sunday school this morning. Luke 24 and 46. The disciples and the followers of Christ, upwards of 120, were instructed to go and tarry in Jerusalem. And there was a period of time of about 10 days, perhaps a week, that they tarried there. Sure, they were fasting, in prayer, in one accord. That maybe, in essence, the Lord had not walked with them in that seven for 10 days. But He told them to go, and I want you to go tarry there for this purpose and this purpose alone, that you might be endued with power from on high. This morning, I want to encourage us. I've just paraphrased that, but it's in Luke. Luke 24 and 49. Tarry there in Jerusalem. This morning, God wants to empower us. He's not wanting us to just, quote unquote, be saved. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to be a testimony. In your life, in your home, in your schools, everything about us, in our vocations, in our integration in life, He wants us to be a glory and an honor and a praise and a witness for Him, to this world, to the heathen, if you will. But the only way we're going to do that, folks, and I imagine most of us have found this out, the only way we're going to do that is have something superhuman, something better than me. Because you see, I'm intimidated by sin. I'm intimidated by man. I cannot be a faithful witness in myself. I'll fail. I'll come short. We need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not going to be unseemly. The Holy Ghost is going to take your vessel and sanctify it. You sanctify it. He'll sanctify it. He'll dwell there. He'll live there. Abide in you. Rule in you. Doesn't take away your will, but your will is consecrated. Your will is dedicated. Your human nature is still there. But that old nature that's been touched by the devil, that corruptible nature, has been purged out by the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that. You still hurt. You still get hungry. You still get afraid when you're 20 feet up on a ladder. But you got power. You got power to overcome those human emotions and human feelings and human things that come against us. So right in the midst of that time when you're pressed and you're persecuted and you're tempted, your life can reflect the one who is enthroned in your life. He said to us, stay there till you're endued with power from on high. On the day of Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter, let's read toward the end there in the second chapter. We know the story pretty much, how the Spirit of God descended upon them. There was a great outpouring and a demonstration there that maybe you understand it completely. I'm not so sure I do. We've got this account in here, and it was wonderful. And listen to what he said. Was this Peter talking, I believe, in the 31st verse of the second chapter? He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of the dead. This is speaking of the prophets and David. That his soul was not left in hell. That's a direct quote from Psalms. Neither his flesh did see corruption. That's in Psalms too. This Jesus has God raised up. Wherefore, we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. There came a time after perhaps a week of fasting, of prayer, tarrying, that a great outpouring of God came upon that approximately 120 people. And it was witnessed by the multitudes. And Peter was able to preach, and was it 13 different dialects, languages were represented there among the people, and they all understood him in their own language. And some said, well, these folks have been on the new wine. They're drunk. Peter said, no, this is the promise of the Father. And they became effectual witnesses because they received the power of the Holy Ghost. They tarried, they waited, they prayed, and the promise of the Father came upon them. And just as in Ezekiel he said, I'll take you out from among the unbeliever, out from among the heathen, and I'll put a new heart and I'll be putting a new spirit in you, and I won't do it because you're so great and you're so wonderful, but that my name may be exalted, that my name may be praised. Oh, this morning, don't you want to be a glory to God? Did you know if we believe in God, and I have this confidence in everyone, we believe in God. And we believe He's love, and we believe He's been good to us. Does any one of us here today really want to be a bad example for God? I don't think so. Does any of us really want to bring some type of shame upon His name? I don't think so. I think we'd all want to be a good witness and an example of what God can do. And one day He'll reward us with heaven. Well, you know, the only way I know to do that is to have some power that I don't have. Some power that you don't have. I need some superhuman strength. Don't you? I need something greater than me. Don't you? We need, folks, the Holy Ghost. And God gave it to us. God sent it to us. And God wants us to have it. And He said, that you see is not new wine. Jesus said over in John, the 15th chapter, He said, abide in me, and I in you. And He said that without Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, we can bear fruit. With Him, we can be fruitful. And not only that, as we bear fruit, He works in our life, in our hearts, in our minds, in our testimony, and He purges. Those little pieces of dross that come to the surface, if we're willing, He'll take them away. That we can do what? Bring forth much fruit. Oh, thank God this morning. God doesn't want a puny church. God doesn't want a church that brings forth a fruit every now and then. God wants an abundant crop of the Holy Ghost fruit coming out of our life. He wants us to be everything He intended His church to be. Folks, we can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it in our own will. We can't do it by self-analyzing ourselves. We've got to have the Holy Ghost living in us, empowering us, strengthening us. We can make up a list. My wife, love my wife. She loves lists. And every now and then she'll remind me of the list on the refrigerator. Folks, I don't have the power to do it. I don't know how else to describe it. Sometimes I'll get around to doing one of them, but there's more on the list than one. I just don't have it in me sometimes. God's got some work for us to do, saints. And we can make the list and say, saints ought to do this, and saints don't do this, and saints that, and saints don't act the way they used to. Folks, that is not power. That's criticism, or that's wishing. We need the power of the Holy Ghost living in the indwelling. Did you know I don't believe a preacher can inspire someone that doesn't have the Holy Ghost? I am not that good of someone at giving oratory. I'm just not that good. I can teach by the grace of God, but it is the Holy Ghost that must touch your life. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to see the need. You're not going to feel the need. You're not going to have the desire. It's going to be lack of power. Oh, this morning, be filled. He breathed on them toward the end there and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Spirit. May the Lord help us today. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. I'd like to try to wind this down. I know we're getting at noon, but probably all got timers on the oven, so we're okay. Romans, the 8th chapter. I want you to read a scripture with me. And I am aware that this scripture can be interpreted in two ways, and I, quite frankly, don't find fault with either one of them. I have my opinion, but I don't really find fault. In Romans, the 8th chapter, start at the 5th verse. 8 and 5. For they that are after the flesh, that is the carnal man that is still being manipulated by the devil. Okay? That is the man who has been touched in such a way that Satan's in control. Do mind the things of the flesh. That doesn't mean that my flesh gets thirsty, therefore I drink water. That's not what it means. That doesn't mean that I step in a hole and I broke my leg, therefore I'm fleshly. Well, that's not what it's talking about. This to me means that when our lives have been, our natures have been touched by the evil one and we fall prey to that. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded, to emphasize the fleshly lust, to emphasize the desire of the flesh, to let Satan rule there is death. But to be spiritually minded, to mind the things of the Lord, is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Satan was never, never subject to God, contrary to what false teachings may think. But he never was, and when he reigns inside of a man or a woman, they can't be subject to God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If the Spirit of God dwells in us, then we're no longer subject to the decay and the corruption of a carnal nature that was corrupted by sin. We've been cleansed. We've been washed. We've been made whole. Now, if that Spirit lives in us, it's going to empower us. And he says this statement that I know can be taken a couple of ways. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Some would say that's synonymous with the Holy Ghost. I am not going to emphatically disagree with that. Some would say that that means the character and the nature, the spirit, the attitude, the submission, and the obedience and the attitude, I'll say, of Christ, of His humility, that we're none of His. And I want to talk about it in that vein just for a little bit now. We can say what we want, but if we cannot display Christ, we're none of His. We can say we're a Christian. We can say our name is in the book of life. But if we're not displaying the character and the quality of life of Jesus Christ, we're none of His. The only way we're going to be able to do that, He told us in Ezekiel, is to get a new spirit. It's to have the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Christ, if you will, living in us. Then He gives us power to reign. He then empowers us to be a glory to God, an honor to God, a praise to God. He then empowers us to keep the commandments from the heart, not from a rules and someone watching me, but because I've got something new and dynamic alive in me. And I keep it because He that is on the throne of my heart and the submission of my will to Him empowers me to be obedient and to keep His statutes and obey His word. But if we lie, if we dishonor one another, if we commit sin, if we backbite, if we have these things in us that are not of Christ, He said, don't say that you're born again. Because if we do not have this of Christ, we're none of His. Think about that. Last scriptures. Jesus said, it's expedient. This is found in John 16. It's expedient for you that I go away. Don't you imagine, and it's not recorded there, but don't you imagine there was room right there in the apostles' and disciples' minds to argue. What do you mean it's expedient? We got you here. Well, don't leave us. We get our direction from you. We get corn when we're hungry from you. We watch the thousands being fed. We got all we need. We got you. Jesus said, It's expedient that I go away. Why? Because if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. Did you know it's expedient that the Holy Spirit come in my life and yours? It's expedient. It's really not optional. If you and me expect to be victorious, it's expedient that the Holy Ghost come. There's no real tarrying period of time in the Bible. It was just a few days later that Paul received the Holy Ghost. At Ephesus, they said, we don't even know if it'd be a Holy Ghost. They said, well, what were you baptized under? Well, we were baptized under John's baptism, John the Baptist. Well, they heard the story, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. It's expedient that we receive. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. But if I go away, I will send to you another comforter. I'm paraphrasing this. I will send to you the Holy Ghost. He'll come in power and authority. And He'll lead you into all truth. May I say to us this morning, the part of the resurrection story that we sometimes emphasize is life eternal. And I'll not disqualify that one iota. But folks, we got to live before we go to heaven. Most of us. All of us. Today we're living before we go to heaven. What are we going to do for power? What are we going to do for truth? What are we going to do when the devil comes around? What are we going to do? How are you going to be a witness? You've got to live for X number of years. How are you going to be a witness in your own self? You can say, I love the Lord, and from your heart want to do it, but if you don't have the power, this morning we need, every one of us needs the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, sanctified, if you want to call it that, perfect love. We need that old nature that was corrupted by the devil and he rules in. We need him and all of his corruption purged out. And then let the man be ruled by the Holy Ghost of God. And then, when you are assaulted, then when you are afraid, you've got power within you now to overcome it. Because no longer is the devil there. No longer is self reigning. See, the devil's gone. Self has been under control now of God, and you're allowing Jesus Christ to reign. And it said of the Holy Ghost in 16th chapter of John, He will glorify me. It's kind of where we started, wasn't it? You want your life to be a glory to God? You want your life to glorify Jesus Christ? The Holy Ghost will empower you to do that. He'll give you a power to reign. And then we can be little lights, cities, part of that great city set on a hill. And He will glorify me. Why? Because He will tell you and me about Jesus Christ. He and the Father this morning, they want nothing better for us than to come and take up their abode right in our hearts. So Paul, to the Ephesian church, or the Ephesian believers in the 19th chapter of Acts, one of his first questions, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Jesus said it is expedient that I go away. We can have the Spirit of God in us. Not as an abstract, not as a theory, not as something that we read necessarily in a book. But we can have Him as a reality. And we can be witnesses to the uttermost corners of the earth. Whether there's another saint around us or not. Whether someone's looking over our shoulder or not. Whether someone's keeping notes on us or not. It doesn't matter, folks. We can live the Christian life wherever we are. We can be off in Timbuktu somewhere, not know a soul in town. This devil can come along and say, nobody's watching now, go in the bar and have a drink. You know, we can have victory right there. We don't have to have another saint. It's good to have you. Praise God for every one of you. But we don't even have to have that. If God is for us, who can be against us? What can separate us from the love of God in Christ? Nothing can, folks, as long as we keep that power in our hearts and in our lives. Thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What an honor it is that God would allow you and me to express Him. Have you ever thought about that? A tree and a mountain and a beautiful stream have no will. They have no other power but the power of nature and God. We have a power of will, choice, to obey or disobey. And He's willing to take me and you, all our humanity, and cleanse us for His temple. That you and me, who have a will, can be a witness and a glory for Him. And we can absolutely today express His will. That's quite an honor, isn't it? That's wonderful. Let's not take it lightly, but let's worship Him for that, reverence Him for that, honor Him for that. And as we need the power of the Holy Ghost, let's recognize that. And let's ask Him to empower us and ask for the Spirit of God to live in us. Because it's expedient for us if we are going to express His will in this life.